Mark 4, 1 through 8. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat out in the sea. See, the gospel was elevated. That's why we don't preach it from the back door. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his doctrine, hearken. That means listen up. What I'm about to say is very important.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, and it didn't have much earth, and it immediately sprang up because there was no depth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away.
Well,
yeah.
Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And others fell on good ground. And other fell on good ground.
Yes, sir.
And did yield fruit that sprang up and it increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I want to talk very briefly on the subject when a good seed produces a poor harvest.
Mm.
You missed it already. I could have, if y'all had gotten that, I could have gave the benediction and we could have got out of here. When a good seed produces a poor harvest. This passage finds Jesus ministering in the city of Capernaum. Great crowds of people have gathered to hear him teach the word. It was so loud that he had to come out from among them and get on a ship and be elevated so he could reach and gather the masses together. Amen?
Amen.
It's a showcase, and this changes the way that Jesus is teaching the people. It's the first time he uses a parable to teach spiritual truth.
Mm-hmm.
Parable means to cast alongside of. Someone defines a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable truth is cast alongside life, and life intercepts the truth. In other words, the parable takes the common everyday events of life and uses them to illustrate deeper things in God. And I caution you, we want to be careful when we try to interpret parables in the Bible and not make a mistake that every single word of the parable is a hidden message.
Right.
That's how false doctrines come up, and that's how false religions and cults and things come up. Not every word has a meaning behind it. Read the sentence and apply it. See, when Jesus spoke in parables, he said, why are you speaking in parables? He said, because there's some among you that don't really want to know what this is about. If I speak in a parable, those of you who are really interested in my word, you will think about it, you will make the comparison, you will make the contrast, and you will get the message. I'm speaking to you in a parable, so those that want to hear, hear, and those that are here to report won't get the message.
Amen.
It wasn't that he was trying to confuse people. There are 60 parables in the Gospels. Jesus wasn't intentionally trying to mislead people. He was merely giving them what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He told them, you heard the truth preached and you rejected it.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
So then he began to preach in a fashion that required people to think about what they were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those who were sincere and hungry for the truth would have the truth revealed to them. And those that were closed-minded to the truth would be concealed from them. He was simply giving them what they desired. So I would caution you or ask the question, what are the desires of your heart?
Yes.
It got quiet, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Everyone who heard this parable could immediately relate to what Jesus was teaching because they had all seen a farmer walk into his field and began to sow. He was speaking, he knew to whom he was speaking. He was speaking to farmers. So he said, let me use a parable that talks about farming because they will be able to make the connection. Amen. He tells them that the sower is the one who sows the word of God. It might be the Spirit of God, a preacher, a teacher, a missionary, a song, a tract, a witness, etc. The seed is the gospel of grace.
Okay.
It is good news that Jesus came into the world, died for sinners, rose again from the dead, and offers full and free salvation to everyone who will receive him into his heart. It's free. It's already done. But we have to receive it. This parable talks about seed produces fruit and some of it doesn't. The problem doesn't lie, however, in the seed. It doesn't say that we threw a poor seed onto the side of the road. It said that the seed was good. Yes. All of the seed was good. It fell on different areas, and that's where the that's where the harvest came.
Yes.
Don't twist it up. There was no problem with the seed. There was a problem with the soil.
That's right.
The soil in this parable represents the heart or the mind of the person who hears the gospel of grace.
Amen.
And everyone who hears it, we hear it in a different way.
Yes.
Some of us revile it, some of us reject it, and some of us receive it. It is in the soil that the primary emphasis of this parable is about. And see, prosperity preachers preach about the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You missed it. Prosperity preachers preach about the seed.
Yeah.
Folks running up to the altar and dropping 20s and hundreds on the steps, and they have no harvest.
Uh-huh.
Their seed was good, but no one preached about the condition of their soil.
Amen.
All right.
What good is giving your seed and you're not reaping a harvest?
All right.
Come Amen. On now.
That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Let's talk about the minds of the people that hear the gospel and how they respond to it. As we move through the verses, examine your self. Amen. There is nothing more disheartening to a pastor is to watch his people struggle. There is nothing harder for me than to watch my people struggle, whether it be with an addiction, whether it be financially, whether it be with a relationship, whether it be with a thorn that has become a thing. There is nothing more disheartening than for me to watch folks struggle. Folks who have a good seed, but they're not getting any harvest back.
All right.
So we got to get our soil right.
Yes, sir.
So we can all walk in the overflow of what God has for us. This isn't a shouting message. I'm trying to talk. Look, I want y'all to get your soil right.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not preaching prosperity, but if our soil is right, we should get a harvest, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And if I'm working and I've got the same seed as you, and you're getting 30, and you're getting 60, and you're getting 100, I want the 30 people to understand that the 100 belongs to you too, but there's something in the soil that's keeping you from getting all of what God has. Don't be satisfied with blessing that's this much when God wants to give you all of the rest of it. Get your soil right so he can come in and do a mighty work and give you everything that you died for so you don't have to struggle. See, we talk about physical seed falling here and there. Let's talk about where it falls in the mind. You can sit in church and sit up underneath the pastor for years and years and years and still be like this.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm coming because my grandma came. I'm coming because that's what black folks do on Sunday. We go to church, and then we eat poorly afterwards, and then we watch football, and then we get up and we go to work, and we don't crack our Bible open until we come back to church next Sunday. And the reason we're coming to church is because that's what grandma would want for us to do. And all of the word that's going out is falling on a closed mind, which would refer to the seed falling by the wayside.
Yes, sir.
The wayside refers to a narrow path that ran beside and along the fields. These were the roads of the day, and the soil on them had become as hard as concrete from the feet of the travelers and animals that walked on it. Now, your mind will do the same thing. Your mind will become as hard as concrete if you refuse to hear what God has to say to you. You will develop a mind that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to be me, and if you don't like me, to such and such with you. That is a closed mind, and any seed that comes cannot be planted because it is falling on concrete ground. There will be no harvest in that life. Because you know the devil can bless you too. Don't be fooled by somebody who walking around with some stuff. Their stuff may not have come from a blessing from God. They may have a closed mind. Amen. You can be a closed mind and still be a multi-millionaire. That is not a blessing from God. That when you leave here, that's all you're going to have. When the seed fell on the footpath, it couldn't even penetrate the soil. And it remained there in the open. And what happened? There was a good seed. Ugly people will eat a good seed. Lay $100 bills all over this altar and call a contractor from the south side to come in here and do some paint. I bet you they'll take some of them seeds with them when they go. A good seed that can't be used, a good seed that can't be planted, a good seed that reaps no harvest and sits out there. Your blessing is sitting out there next to the wayside of your spirit, next to the wayside of your closed mind, and somebody else is going to come along and pick it up. Come on. Then we talking to God tomorrow. I just don't know. Well, that's because you closed your mind, and your seed, which I gave to you, fell on the wayside. Mm-hmm. And Johnny came over and picked it up. So your blessing's over there.
Come on now.
This parable is talked about again in Matthew. And we're told that this speaks to the person who hears the gospel but doesn't understand it. That is that they cannot make the connection between the claims of the gospel and their own life. They can't see how the gospel could possibly hold any value for them or their life. That's someone who's content in their self.
That's it.
When you get content with who you are, when you get content with what things are, and then you become complacent, then you don't want to hear anything that's contrary that will disrupt your contentness. But Paul said, I strive daily toward the mark of a higher calling. So Paul was saying, don't be content with what you have, because what God has for you is so much more. Harden not your heart. Don't close your mind, because the seed will not produce a harvest. We get so steeped in our mess, we believe it and we get comfortable. Come on, somebody. There's a confused mind. I think that would be equivalent to the stony places that the seed fell. Stony places are common in Palestine. There would be an outcropping of limestone and rock covered by a thin layer of topsoil. And the soil looks like it is ready to be sown. The ground looks good.
All right.
It looks productive.
All right.
And a seed thrown down there will germinate quickly and spring into what looks and appears to be a promising plant. But the problem is, there's no depth to the soil.
Well,
and as soon as the sun beats down on this plant, it withers and it dies before it has enough nourishment and strength to produce any fruit. Confused mind, doesn't that, it the ground look good, we look good.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The ground looked like it was productive and conducive to being sown. We look like we're ready for leadership. We look like we're ready for worship. And if you give somebody a job, they'll quickly get to work. And you'll look at them and you'll think, my goodness, this is so promising. And then as soon as the sun comes out, as soon as hell breaks loose.
Come on,
somebody. As soon as somebody says something to you that you don't like, as soon as you get a conviction in your spirit, as soon as you step outside of the boundary, you get withered up and you die because you look good, but you have no depth. Now you're withered up, old, dead, dried up, with no fruit. Soil speaks of the mind that makes an emotional response to the presentation of the gospel. The Bible said we ought to receive it in gladness. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I believe there's a cluttered mind. The soil looks like it's ready to be sown, but underneath the surface are the living roots and seeds of thorns and weeds. The soil's been tilled and the thorns have been cut down, but their roots are alive and well underneath the surface where they can't be seen. And when a seed falls here, it springs to life quickly, gives every indication that a good harvest will follow. And then the seed springs to life, but so do the thorns and the weeds.
All right.
Good seed, unprepared soil, choke you out of your blessing.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Right. Yeah.
We look good. We say we're consecrated for ministry, but we haven't dealt with the stuff in here that's ugly. Come on, somebody.
Yes, yes.
You don't act like it's just me. Y'all got it too.
Yes.
If you don't deal with the
stuff,
with the thorns, with the weeds, with the ugliness of your flesh, if you don't deal with that thing when your blessing comes, it will choke it out. It will die.
Yeah.
And you will have no harvest.
Yeah.
Get your soil right.
Yes, God.
Yes.
I think you missed that. If we don't prepare, we just look good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did our landscaping. I was in a hurry because I wanted it to look good. We didn't put no fabric mulch down, no fabric stuff. I spent I don't know how many hundreds of dollars, and it looked beautiful till one good rain came, and all them grass and milkweeds and all that mess came up, and it looked like a black person on the crop. I said, my God. It looked good for a minute, but it wasn't prepared. It was prepared to look good. When you lay somebody out in a cap, they look good for a moment. Come back and look at them next week. wipe the makeup off and you will see what's really underneath. Ties into what we said last week. Take your mask off and deal with the issues at hand. Taking your mask off is a way of tilling your soil. Yeah. Taking your mask off and saying, okay, I don't have it all together. I got a problem with alcohol. Okay, now we know how to pray for you. Take your mask off. Say, I got a problem with porn. Okay, now we know what to pray for.
Yeah.
If you take your mask off and till your soil and get your soil right, when your seed comes, it will be on good ground.
Yeah.
And good ground produces a harvest. Cultivated mind.
Uh-huh.
And I believe this is the equivalent to good soil.
Come on.
Some of the seed fell on the good ground. This was a ground that had been worked and prepared. Say worked.
Worked.
Say prepared.
Prepared.
See, when they we talk about we going to heaven, right? Pastor Bass preached a sermon called Heaven is a Prepared Place for a Prepared People. You can't just die and get to heaven. You've got to prep to get there or you'll find yourself in hell.
Well,
it's all a part of a process. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So the cultivated mind is a mind that has been worked and prepared. It has been plowed and tilled. And it is ready to receive the seed whenever it comes. See, you've got to keep your ground ready because you don't know when the seed is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to keep it ready. You can't be half-stepping it because your seed might come and fall on stony ground. But if you keep your mind right, keep your places right, keep your people right, keep your Bible in your heart, know that God is with you, know that He loves you, but know the position of your heart can still take you straight to hell. Keep your heart right because He wants to bless you. And when He blesses you, let that thing fall on you. To the sower.
Yes.
You missed it when a plant does what it's supposed to do and produces a good harvest. It brings honor to the man, to the God, to the Holy Spirit, to planting the seed. You missed it. You missed it. You're supposed to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't got no fruit. That makes people look at your God and wonder what kind of God do they serve. They have no harvest. But when you live right and God brings a seed on good ground and you produce fruit, it brings it honor. It brings it glory. It gives it credibility. People will say, I want some of what you have. But get the soil right. And you have everything that God has for you. I said before, anything that gets between you and God, that's a weed. Anything that gets between you and God, that's a thorn.
Root it
up. Root it up. Pull it up. It gets you some good soil. There's no way I'm selfish. There's no way I'm going to go through everything I went through and let some weeds and thorns choke what God has for me. Come on, somebody. The soil represents the only soil among the four that had anything that was lasting.
Amen.
He'll make His presence known beyond all doubt. He'll cause the new believer to begin to bear fruit for the glory of God. Amen. For the glory of God. Some of the seed produced more fruit, though, than others. The amount of fruit in your life is also a work of God's grace as He uses you for His glory. But every child of God produces fruit in his life. We should. The question is how much?
Yeah.
And how much depends on you. God doesn't bless me more than He blesses you. He blesses me according to what I'm able to. He blesses me by what my soil is able to handle. Amen.
Uh-huh.
God ain't going to throw a seed on me knowing that it's going to fall by the way.
Come on now.
What kind of fruit does good soil produce?
Yes. Good soil.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
If you have good soil,
that's right.
If you have good soil, you will have a good harvest.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. If your soil is right, your harvest is right.
Yes.
If your soil is right, your harvest is right. Now, what you understand this is when you plant something, amen, and it brings forth a harvest, and you harvest that stuff up, you can't just go and plant stuff again on the same ground. You've got to go back and till it up.
Yes.
You've got to go back and work that thing out. So what the devil is going to do is walk in it, but keep on plowing the soil. When God blesses you, keep on working that ground. When God blesses you, keep on working that thing. They will sell you a book. Now you don't even get a book. They send you an email. And you open the link. They want to share their knowledge with you. And we'll buy it. We'll watch infomercials. We'll tune in to Dr. Alex Mayer. And we'll buy his e-book on how to make money. But we won't tithe. You can read all the e-books that you want. If you don't give God what belongs to him, he will not bless that thing. He asked the question because the answer is there. Will a man rob God? The answer is yes, or he never would have asked the question.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good soil produces kingdom building.
Mm-hmm.
Good soil produces favor with God. Good soil, it increases your territory.
Yes,
it
does.
Good soil expands your ministry.
Yes.
Good soil will save other souls.
Yes.
Good soil will answer your prayers. Good soil will answer your prayers. Good soil will answer your prayers. Good soil will heal your diseases. Good soil will move you from a sad space to a space of your own. Good soil will give you the desires of your heart. Somebody, what does your soil look like?
Yeah.
Let's be truthful. What does our soil look like? Most of our soil looks like good ground with some thorns.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, come on, let it be real. Most of us, our soil looks like good ground with some stuff here and there. Which is why we don't have everything that God wants us to have. Amen.
Yeah.
He's not being mean. He's saying, if you don't put the work in, why should I? I did my part. I left a perfect place in glory. I came down and I laid in a manger. I lived among you. And then I let y'all talk about me. I leave it when I knew that y'all were going to betray me. I still sat down at the table with you. When I knew that y'all were going to sell me out for $30, I still ran away. So now you can have everything that you want. But you got to meet me halfway. And surrender yourself for the seed. Don't look at must be for him to stand and look
my Lord
with our blessing in his hand.
Well,
yes, sir.
And looking at our unprepared soil. As a guy that works for me, if he would get his soil right.
Yeah.
Amen, Walt.
Yeah.
If he would get his soil right, he'd never have to get his hands dirty another day in his life. I'm standing here like this. I know how frustrating it is to me. So I can only imagine how God is with our blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking about, well, I'm good. Tell yourself that lie.
Yeah.
Get your soil right so God can give you everything. Get your soil right so you don't just have the 30.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Get your soil right so you don't just produce 60. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Get your soul right so you can have the 100.
Yes.
You can have the 100, and the 100 is the overflow. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And what do you do with the overflow? You use it to bless other folks. That's why the kingdom struggles, because only many of us are walking in the 30 and 60, and we can't bless somebody else because we won't get our soil right. If we all had 100, what do you need? We got it. Because we're walking in the overflow. Next week, we're coming from Kings. And that's going to wrap this up. Kings, 2 Kings. Talking about the Shunammite woman. That ties this whole thing together. It tells you how to get from 30 to 60. It tells you how to get from 60 to 100. But more importantly, the lesson in that, it tells you not to be satisfied with the 30. Amen. We used to say, anyway, God bless me, I'll be satisfied. Yeah, yeah, but understand, he wants to bless you with the 100.
Yeah.
Understand, he wants, listen, if you bless me in a paper bag, I'll be satisfied. Oh, yeah, I will. If I have it, yeah, if I say, give me $1 and I give you $5 back, you'd be happy. If I say, Pastor Carrie, give me $1 and I give her 50, she'd be excited.
Yes,
and now if I say, if I say, Sister Latoya, give me $1, or if I say, anybody else have $1 for me? Think about it. You'd all jump up because you know, well, she got 5, she got 50. Whoever give that next dollar might get 500.
Uh-huh.
So see, sometimes we miss that. We're satisfied with the 5. But God wants to give you the 500.
Yes,
so if he sees progressing from one to the other, it will encourage other folks to be able to understand that I can get the 100-fold.
Amen.
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 Doors of the house are open. God, we thank you for a time of reflection and fellowship. And as we open the doors to your house, if there is one that doesn't know you in the full pardon of your sins, we invite you to come at this time. If you're looking for a church home and you need a place to call home, you may as well come on. You've found it.